Amen. First of all, giving honor to God, to my pastor for this opportunity, to everyone in their respective places. It is truly a privilege to stand before you and bring the word of God. Sister Stinger, if I had half your heart to serve, I'd be doing something. I see you in the back. I see you here. I see you downstairs. If I had half your heart, I'd be doing something. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, can you take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts, the 10th chapter? And we're just going to look at verses 1 through 7. Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Amen. And when you have it, just stand, please. Acts 10, 1 through 7. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. About 3 in the afternoon, he distinctly saw in a vision an angel of God who came and said to him, Cornelius. Looking intently at him, he became afraid and said, What is it, Lord? The angel had told him, Your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel had spoke to him and had gone, he called 2 of his household slaves and a devout soldier, who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. You may be seated. Father, we thank you that we can stand in this place and minister your word to your people. God, I just ask that you use me for your honor, for your glory, and your praise. Let me decrease, and God, you get all the increase. We just ask these things right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen.
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 For a subject today, what do you want from God? What do you want from God?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you to take a piece of paper. Don't say, I want more faith. Don't say, I want blessings. I want you to take a piece of paper. Don't put your name on it. Just rip it in half, rip it up. Write what you would want, one thing that you would want from God. And at the end of the service, the ushers are going to collect it. And I'm going to ask Minister Cole to pray over it. Amen. So write one thing. What do you want from God? That's all right, Mr. Paul. Amen. It's an act of faith, but it's an act of obedience. But it's also a blessing. One thing that you want from God. What do you want from God? Amen. Everybody done? Everybody done? Ushers, just at the end of the service, if I forget, please remember to collect all of those so we can pray. 3 subtopics today. 1, prayer changes things. 2, why should we pray? 3, what does God want from you? First, prayer changes things. When we read in Acts, the 10th chapter, we understand that Cornelius was a centurion. And that means that he was a professional officer in the Roman army. Now, officers, we got a different standard. We're not allowed to do certain things. You got to carry yourself in such a way. But it says he was a professional officer in the Roman army. But not only that, he was a Roman, and it also says he was a devout man who feared God. But verse 2 is what caught my attention, because it says he always prayed to God. Wouldn't you like someone to be able to say that to you at the end of your life? You always prayed to God, or you were always in church, or something like that. What they're saying about this man was he always prayed to God. We are not told what he prayed, only that he always prayed. And verse 5 tells us that the angel came to him and said, your prayers have come up as a memorial to God. In other words, the angel was telling Cornelius that God has heard your prayers. Today I'm asking you, what do you want from God? And we all know the story that Peter came and preached the gospel message to this soldier. A Jewish man came to a Gentile house. If you know anything about Bible history, that broke all the rules. I'm here to tell you this morning, prayer changes things. A Jewish man came into a Gentile house, into a Roman soldier that Jews didn't like. Prayer changes things. He broke all the rules. One person praying changed the game. Peter was also praying. Cornelius and Peter should never have met. A Roman soldier, a fisherman, they should have never met. But prayer changes things. When we pray, God will take us to places that we have never even imagined. Peter went and preached to Cornelius, and this Gentile house got saved. Catch this now. He wasn't saved until Peter came and preached to him, but God heard his prayer. Prayer changes things. The gospel message spread because one man prayed to God. Catch this now. We would not be here. Catch this now. We would not be here if it were not for Cornelius' prayer. Think about this. One man prayed. Because this one man prayed, the gospel message went to the Gentiles. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because one man prayed, prayer changes things. Digging a little deeper, verse 3 says he was praying about 3 in the afternoon. Jewish law makes it a duty that you pray at least 3 times a day. The morning prayer, which is called the Shema, and I don't know all of it, but it says, hear Israel, the Lord is God, God is our Lord, something to that effect. The afternoon prayer is Psalms 145. And then the evening prayer, and I was looking, I could not find the evening prayer. But those are 2 prayers, 3 times a day that the Jews were required to pray. How many times a day do you pray? I'm not saying that we need to pray 3 times a day, but I do know when you make an appointment with someone, you expect them to show up. When I pencil you in on my calendar, I expect you to be there when you say you're going to be there. When you make a prayer appointment with God, God shows up. If you're not there, he's still there. When you make an appointment with God, God will show up. Matter of fact, he is always waiting and wanting to talk to us. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. God wants to talk to you. Often we come to God and we're just, and we're up in God. Stay down on your knees for a minute and listen to God, because God wants to talk to you. We read in James that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer changes things. I'm here this morning to ask you, what do you want from God? I'm here to let you know that God is still on the throne. I'm here to let you know that God still answers prayer. I'm here to let you know that prayer changes things. God has not changed. His arm not shortened, that it cannot reach out to you and change your circumstances. It's not too short that it cannot reach out and change what is happening in your world. God's arm is not shortened. Prayer changes things. What do you want from God? If we know that prayer changes things, if we know that prayer moves. Prayer changes things. We have so much power in our hands. We have so much power at our disposal, and we do not use it. Prayer changes things. What do you want from God? Finally, secondly, why should we pray? Prayer is not us overcoming God's reluctance to give us things. Prayer is us taking hold of God's willingness to bless us. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes you. Have you ever been praying, and the closer you get to God in prayer, the more you break through, the more you stop asking for stuff, and the more you start praising God? You ever been in that place where you're praying, and you stop thinking about what you want and what you need, and you begin to just glorify God? It's like you're underwater, and as you're pushing yourself, trying to break through, oh, hallelujah. When you break through and you get that fresh air, and that, when you break through in prayer, there is nothing like when you break through in prayer. Why should we pray? Because it places us in the channel of blessings where God can grant our requests. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, so please write. Psalm 65:2, why should we pray? All humanity comes to you, the one who hears prayer. When you're troubled and when you're distressed, quote Psalm 65:2, I'm coming to you, the one who hears prayer. Why should you pray? Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Why should I pray? Because when I pray, God rewards me. Don't make sense. But think about this. When I pray, oh, come on, somebody grasp this. When I pray, he rewards me. When I call on his name, he rewards me. When I ask something from him, he rewards me. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. When I pray, God is telling me, I want to bless you. All you got to do is pray. When I pray, God is telling me, I want to bless you. All you got to do is pray. How willing is God to answer prayer? Matthew 7:11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I'm evil. I can give my son a G.I. Joe. I can give my son a motorized car, and he's happy. If me being evil know how to give that to my son and make him, how much more? It says, much more will God give to me. I'm evil, Reverend Smith. God is good. Come on. He wants to bless you. He wants to give to you. Why should I pray? Because God wants to bless me. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Why should I pray? We talked about this in Sunday school, Reverend Jasper. If he did not spare his son, how much more shall he freely give us all things? If he did not spare Jesus, how much more shall he give? You think he gave it all with Jesus, yet scripture is saying, I got more to give you. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. These are the promises in the word of God. God said, I watch over my word to perform it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He is the word. So when you are praying the word, when you are praying Psalm 145, you are talking to God in a language that he understands. If I come to you, Reverend Smith, and I start talking to you in Hebrew, you don't understand. If I start talking to you in German, you don't understand. If I talk to you in Italian, you don't understand. But when I come to Jesus and I start talking to him in the word of God, he understands what I'm saying, and he responds to the word of God. Sometimes when you don't know how to pray, just open your word and start talking to God from the word. Sometimes when you don't know what to say, open the word and just start talking to God in the word. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll just start talking the word. The word is a prayer. The word is alive. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Just start talking the word. John 14:13. What do you want from God? He says, just ask anything in my name. Anything in my name, and I will do it. Are there any restrictions there? None. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm coming to that. Why should we pray? Prayer is the key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse. Prayer is the key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse. Why should we pray? Because God, who made the universe, invites us to come to him in everything by prayer and supplication. Make your request known unto God. Can you begin to comprehend that? The God of the universe. We're flying spaceships out, and we're looking at Mars, and we're looking at Pluto, and we're trying to land on some asteroids. This is something you do. We're trying to do all of these things. But why we're trying to do all of these things, so sophisticated, God created those things. God created these things. And this is the God, Kenny, this is the God that I'm coming to. This is the God who said, ask anything of me, and I will do it. If he can make the moon, if he can make the earth and the moon stand at a certain distance from each other, if he can make it spin and here comes the sun, if he can do all of that, can I just ask him and he will do something for me? Can I just speak to him and he will? You do not know the power that you can plug into. We take a cord and we plug into the wall and we get electricity, and at 220 volts or 110 volts, something like that, we get some volts, 120. When you plug into God, you ever plug in and it wasn't, the wire was frayed and you got a jolt? That's only a small jolt. When you plug into God, come on, Kenny. When you plug into God, he gives you a jolt that just knocks you down. You cannot hold when you plug into God. I'm here to tell you, Minister Cruz, when you plug into God, you cannot contain all the power that flows into you. But all you got to do, Reverend Smith, is just plug into God. How do you plug into God? Just raise up your hand and say, God, help me. Just raise up your arms and say, God, help me. That's how you plug into God. Hebrews 4:16. For those theologians here, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. There are no restrictions. It says, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm reminded of the story of David and Goliath. Everybody was talking about Goliath. how big he was, how tall he was, how strong he was. David was the only one that didn't talk about Goliath. David talked to Goliath. David said to Goliath, today, God is going to give you in my hand. What am I trying to tell you? In prayer, sometimes we often talk about our situation. I'm so sick. This hurts. We talk about our situation. Your situation is your Goliath. Instead of talking about your situation, talk to your situation. We keep saying that I want this church to be filled. I want people to come in. Instead of saying I want this church to be filled, why don't we start praying I want a bigger church? Because you're expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. We get stuck on one point of what we want, but think about what God can do. You've got Goliaths in your life. Minister Cruz, you got a Goliath in your life. It's right there. Put your hand on it and ask God to release. Deacon Cruz, I know you got a Goliath in your life. Put your hands on it and ask God for you. We all got a Goliath in our life, a certain situation. You are asking God for something very specific. Put your hand on it and ask God to give it to you right now. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't get me. Y'all aren't understanding what I'm saying. You got stuff going on in your life. Instead of talking about the stuff that's going on in your life, talk to the stuff. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are depressed. Some of us are unpressed. Talk to the depression. Tell the depression you got to go. Some of us are sick. We got arthritis in our legs. Talk to the arthritis. You got to go. You got a daughter. May not be acting right. Talk to the daughter. You got to straighten up what I'm trying to tell you. You've got to speak to your situation and not your circumstance. There are Goliaths in your life. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Put your hands on it. I want to hear your praise. I want to hear your praise. I want to hear the breakthrough. Because our God, our God, our God, he's able. He's able. Just because you're here in your Sunday best doesn't mean he can't touch you and heal you. Just because you're here in the morning, you're sitting there, doesn't mean he can't touch and heal you. You don't have because you don't ask. You don't ask because you don't believe he can do it. But I'm here to tell you, he can do it. I died. I died. But we are alive now. God brought me back. If he can bring me back from a hospital bed, hallelujah. I can ask God anything because I know if he delivered me from sickness, he can deliver me from this. If he delivered me from stress, he can give me happiness. If he delivered me from this, he can give me this. All I've got to do is ask him. There is nothing too hard. Nothing too hard for God. Prayer is more than just asking. Kenny, prayer is expecting. You see, we ask, but we forget that second part, Reverend Singer. We forget to expect. You see, prayer, I can ask God all day, but sometimes I got to sit back and I expect. And expect means I'm anticipating my blessing. I'm anticipating my answer. I can pray, Reverend Jasper, but now I'm expecting an answer because he said it. Word, I'm going to answer you. He said in his word, I watch for my word. So I'm expecting God to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Oh, y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. God is a big God. God is a mighty God. Whew. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God is a huge God. God is a big God. There is nothing too difficult for God. All you got to do is humble yourself and get down on your knees and just begin to ask God. It don't take much. Talk to me, sinner on the cross. Lord, today remember me in paradise. This day. It don't take much. Just one sentence, one request, and God will answer your prayer. I'm almost done. Jesus said, Matthew 7, verses 7, 8, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. What do you want from God? John 14, 13, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Why should we pray? Because prayer unlocks the doors of heaven. Finally, what does God want from you? Amos 3:3, strange scripture. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And I used to think, Kenny, that this was a reference to marriage. And this was a reference to how we're supposed to govern ourselves with Christians and non-Christian friends. But that's not what it's about. Uh-huh. How can we walk with God unless we are in agreement with God? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? How can I walk with God unless I am in agreement with God? Jesus said in the word, the Father and I are one. Why did he say that? Because he was in agreement with God. If you want to be in agreement with God, be one with God. This scripture is for you, First Mount Olive. And if you want to be free, I want you to ponder this scripture. I want you to learn this scripture. And I want you to pray this scripture. Matthew 5:44. Jesus is speaking to us and telling us who we are to pray for. Mm-hmm. I've only been here a year, and I've seen things I don't want to see. Amen. And I've heard things I don't want to hear. And I start asking myself, Reverend Polk, how can this be happening in the house of the Lord? How can this be happening with people who call themselves Christians? These things ought not to be. I'm not meddling, Reverend Stinger. I'm just talking about my observations. These things ought not to be. But Revelation says, but I say unto you, Jesus, this is Jesus talking, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. And that last part, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. This is for you, First Mount Olive. If you want to be free of anger and malice and bitterness, if you want to be free, I'm encouraging you today, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. It's not about you. It's about the God inside of you. Pray for them if you want to be free. If you want your prayers to be heard, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. What does God want from you? Matthew 26, 41. Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Luke 21, 36, watch and pray always. Finally, Luke 18, verses 4 and 5, the persistent widow. Minister Cruz, she kept going to that judge's house, knocking on the door, saying, come and help me. Yeah. Read the scripture. She didn't go to the courthouse. She didn't go to the courthouse, Sister Cassandra. She went to his house.
She went to his house, and she kept coming to his house and coming to his house and coming to his house until finally he said, I'm going to answer your prayer. You got to keep coming to God and coming to God and coming to God and coming to God until he answers your prayer. We pray and we forget about it. We walk away and think it's done. That's not what the Bible says. What does God want from you? He wants persistence. He wants persistence. I'm done. What do you want from God? What?
Amen. It's gonna stop.
It's gonna stop. What do you want from God? It's gonna stop.
Amen.
I've been reading Acts all week, Pastor. And it talks about how signs and wonders accompanied the apostles. They followed the apostles.
Yes, sir.
And I'm like, if you could do it for Peter, Andrew, James, and John,
yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I want signs and wonders too.
Amen.
I want to be able to just lay my hand on your stomach and it's healed.
Yeah.
That you don't have to wait for the doctor to answer your call, but just the prayer of faith, laying my hands on your stomach. I believe in signs and wonders. Just the prayer of faith of laying my hands on your stomach and your stomach is healed. Just the prayer of faith of laying my hands on your back and that situation inside is healed. I'm just dumb enough, Reverend Stinger, to believe that if I just do what God said to do, that something is going to happen. I was praying about your daughter. God kept quickening your daughter in my spirit. And I know I'm stepping way out on a limb.
Yeah.
But I believe one day she's going to be up and walking. And she's going to walk down and give you a hug. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I just believe God. He keeps putting you and her. I'm sorry, Deke. He keeps putting you and her on my spirit. I don't know why. But I believe one day he is able. She's going to walk down the aisle. Put her arms around you and say, Mom, I love you. He's able. Why am I saying all of this? Because our God is so much bigger than what we make him out to be. Our God can do so much more than what we think he can do. All you have to do is ask. Not get tired in prayer. Not get it's not going to happen. All you got to do, I'm believing. I'm believing because I saw and I saw you, and I saw her, and I saw you. Your request will be answered. I'm believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask. What do you want from God? This is a poem. Prayer makes the darkest cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder that Jacob saw. Prayer gives exercise to faith and love. Prayer brings blessings from above. When we restrain prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. Prayer changes things. All I'm inviting you to do, First Mount Olive, is begin to seek the Lord and begin to cry out for him until your change comes. Don't be satisfied. Just keep crying out until your change comes. That's who he is. One day he's going to come, and one day he's going to answer your prayer. It may not be yes, but what he does give you, Kenny, it's going to be good enough, and it's going to be better than what you asked for. Keep crying out to God as we stand. Start passing your slips to the center of the aisle. And ushers can just march down the center and get them. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there's one here this morning who does not know Jesus, if I were to die tonight, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. If you don't know Jesus, but you would like to receive him in your heart, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand and put it back down. Is there anybody here today who does not know Jesus? Amen.